what would you tell your younger self about well-being, knowing what you know today?
God, this one's gonna get me. I think that we have to, you know, slow down and
100%.
And really, you know, take those moments for yourself and with your family.
Hello, everyone. I'm Melissa Gonzalez, and welcome to another episode of The Purpose Pivot. And today I get to sit with my friend Stacy Eagle, who, you know, I always say you never know who the world's going to bring you. And she is an example of that. So everybody, this is Stacy. We met years ago when we were just chatting it up about, like, how was it? I was working on an emerging designer fashion event, and I met her through her friend Claudine for Caravan. And this was years ago, over a decade.
I think this is 2009 or 10.
2009-10, exactly. Yeah. And the both of us have done so much since then. But a constant in that is your brand, Boy Meets Girl, which is a global impact brand that I know we're going to dig a lot into, and I can't wait to do that. And since then, we've both become authors, second-time authors, all the things. So, you know, I'm really excited for us to be able to talk through all of this today. But again, to tell the audience, you know, this is Stacy, and Stacy's the founder and creative director of Boy Meets Girl, a global impact brand, iconic for its double silhouette logo that she's wearing. It's purposeful, it's edgy, it's contemporary, leisure wear. But it also seeks to promote the message that confidence and courage are trends that never go out of style, even if sometimes you forget those things. So I look forward to us digging into how you continue to put that message out in the world. But Stacy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really a special time where your worlds collide, and, you know, we have these friendships in the business and in different areas of business, whether it's what you do or what I do or beauty or owning a flower shop, whatever it is, we like have come together over decades of owning our own businesses. And it's so special. It's a really special time in my life to just be connected with people like you, thought leaders, making change, and very much what Boy Meets Girl's ethos is all about. So thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. Well, let's start with that, right? Because, you know, I'm sure plenty of people in the audience follow you already online, but even for those that don't, I gave such a high level introduction of Boy Meets Girl, but it's had such an impact with amazing collaborations that, you know, you are at the heart of curating. So can you tell the audience a little bit more about Boy Meets Girl? Like, why did you found it? And you tell us about the vision you're so passionate about.
Yes. Well, so Boy Meets Girl has been around for almost 25 years or 24 plus years. And really my goals started a line was eventually I would be giving back to organizations and ones that were more dear to me. And I knew that it'd be like breast cancer awareness and different, you know, nonprofits. And so my first trade show, launched 2001 in New York City. It was supposed to be the week of 9/11. And obviously that did not happen because of a terrorist attack in New York City. And for all of us who were in New York and who were impacted by this and who had lost friends or knew friends of friends, all we wanted to do was help and just be on the ground floor, go wherever we could, bring food, donate, you know, just be there for a friend on a phone call. I was 22, 23 and a young person in New York City surrounded by young friends. And it was just a really sad time for all of us. And for me, who had left her job, you know, secure employment, health benefits, the whole thing to start my own line during this time, I felt very much like, should I continue to be in fashion at a time that we all needed to do other things. And so my backstory is I'm from Chicago. I studied fashion, worked in the Gap when I was really young, worked at a store called Fox's, did design classes. No one had design classes in the city of Chicago. There was like one fabric store. Made my first skirt when I was going into sixth grade, like jagged skirt that it was a houndstooth skirt that like, everyone was like, who's this girl wearing this skirt? And, had confidence doing that. And what I'm getting to is that fashion and business was always ingrained in me. No family members in the fashion business, but my mom was an entrepreneur and a physician assistant, and I learned a lot of the traits of business through her. And I realized that I would do the show whenever the show would be rescheduled, which was a month later. And I would become an impact brand from out of the box. So when we think of Tom's shoes, that you get buy one shoe, you give a shoe, like this wasn't my model that I thought I was going to start with. It was because of a reaction of what had happened in our world. And that's pretty much what, or in our city and in New York City. And so that first trade show that I ended up doing with 60 designers. It was a very small, intimate show. The workshop at the Chelsea Market in New York City was called the Workshop Trade Show. And it was like such an amazing show because everybody was coming to support New York designers and wanted to be there in the midst of this horrible attack on our city. And though the collection that I ended up doing was donated to the American Red Cross of victims of 9/11 and their families. So from out of the box, the first show, I was giving back. And I said to myself, if I were to be in fashion to do this, I would always lead with that. And so over the course of, 20 years is what I have done. And because I didn't feel that I could really do this if I didn't do that. And so throughout these 20 years, the people I've worked with, activists, nonprofits, musicians, everybody is coming together to bring people together to share stories, to uplift other people, whether it's working with the Human Rights Watch, Youth Over Guns, Breast Cancer Awareness for Young Survival Coalition for Breast Cancer, and many, many other organizations that I've now donated to through the brand. And so I guess I was led to this path because of what had happened. I knew I would want to do that, and I would have always given back because that was very much ingrained in who I am through my parents, and my family. And so, but I didn't think it would be right away. And now that is, what defines who we are when we say an impact brand or a mission-led brand, which is very in now, right? It was just,
Yes, it's a buzzword that people latch on
it's a
to, but
buzzword in every conference you're at, but it was something that I just did because I wanted to do it, and that was the only way I could be doing this business, whether you're selling a pencil or a bag or a shirt or a hoodie. I wasn't making couture clothing, and I loved it. I studied it, but I was making everyday pieces that are wearable and affordable. And to me, that donation, whether you knew the brand or not, was making an impact. So some people would learn about the brand through the donation. Some people saw the silhouette and identified with it. Some people saw my first ribbon shirts that had Americana on it and had a cinch at the chest. And that was, so it was my way, the only way to keep moving in this business, which I think has kept me really loving it, which is a really hard business to love. It's a hard business, and it's not easy, and it's constantly evolving and changing, and not the great people in so many great people in it. But when you find great people, like the people who are doing the groundwork on the ground floor, activate, being there for the marches, whatever the marches and different things that we work in, and you realize how special that is to work with people who are making change, and makes you feel good about what you're doing. And so that's sort of how I've led in the partnerships and the collaborations. And some things range from, Care Bears and strawberry
Hey,
shortcake.
I got the
What?
strawberry shortcake sweatshirts for my niece. So she loves strawberry. I was like, perfect. She loves strawberry
Perfect, right?
shortcake.
And even with that, the nostalgia of a brand like that might not necessarily, no, people might not know that they're donating to a cause through their clothes because it's an iconic asset, IP asset of a TV show. But when they partner with me, they're doing something through all the work we've done to get back. So our partnership went to the National School Climate Center's anti-bullying program. And now it's called the Community for Change. So that's what the different brands and organiz or pretty much brands or IP come to me to elevate their brands, to share those messages of how we can bring people together and make change. So in the 20 plus years, it's a lot to put together, but that's the ethos of what we do. And when you see the boy and girl logo, you reflect and see something that like is something you were young, you were it was your first concert, your first friend. Someone's always like, "Oh, I remember that time." And to me, it's a reflection of what we do as humans. And it was brought together, from scrappy old silhouettes. It was my boyfriend at the time, who's now my husband. It wasn't only our story, it's everyone's story. And that's how I've always, led the brand.
Yeah, well, I mean, you definitely see the consistency in that ethos and the global impact. And you mentioned bullying. I mean, you've been a longtime advocate for mental well-being through this as well.
Yes.
And you said 25 years, the world's a different place today. Like
It's
the mechanisms one has to be a bully and to be, the channels now for which people can be victim to being bullied is
Yes.
It's really tricky living in this like always connected world.
Yes.
So, I've seen the big stances and fuck bullies, but without the I, and
Yes.
live to inspire. So it's you're standing up, but also like uplifting at the same time. Talk to
Yes.
us a little bit about that, and what are you seeing as some of the biggest challenges, especially when we're thinking of youth today, parents of youth today, with all we're seeing in the world.
So, and there's also I have a shirt or a slogan that says, "Stop hate, be nice, and or and, stop hate and bullying, be nice. That's it. Bye." That's a popular one.
Yeah. Well, I
If you
mean,
don't
like keep it
think you
simple,
have to raise one, yeah.
right? Like, but still it's
Very simple, but
unfortunately.
to your question, in 2009, 10 was like the beginning of YouTube and some forums. It wasn't so much all the social media we have today, but YouTube was there. And I had worked with Sammy Hannity, who's a celebrity, who's now 26 or 7, married with a baby. She's been on many shows. She's on Shameless and a new popular show that I'm blanking on the name, but we will find that. But her team came to me because she was the American Doll, Chrissa Stand Strong doll. And she was in the movie that the doll was. And so they came together. So we did an event at Bloomingdale's where she was, the face of this movie. And we came together with the National School Climate Center anti-bullying program. And it was parents and kids. And the main reason we came together is because she was getting sort of bullied on YouTube. She was a child actor. And that's why she came to work with the organization. And that's how we came together. And so from a very beginning stage of building the brand and being involved in every aspect of social, I've spoken at, it was called Fashion 140, and it was talking about humanizing yourself in the social media space and learning when everything came in, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, all these things as a brand we had to get on and be part of. And understanding when I worked with her, just how do you protect yourself as a young child actor or anyone, an influencer or not an influencer, just any person, right?
Sure,
Any
yeah.
kid. And we had with the National School Climate Center, we had actionable items that what we could do to stand up and be an upstander? How do you fight the bullies, or how do you work with the bullies? And so the techniques that we started to learn together, I carried forward in many of my partnerships and educating the youth and parents today. And even to like today, now that I have a 10-year-old, parents come to me wanting that shirt, stop hate, be nice, and bullying, thank you, bye. And because they're having issues. There's a stem of parents don't teach it, how children should act or talk to someone, and they're not really learning in school, but the program tests the environment of the children, the parents, and the teachers. So it's an amazing program that they implement if you onboard it into the school system. So that's what this organization was doing.
I say this all the time, though, like throughout, elementary through college, the soft skills are not
It's
taught,
not taught, and it's not
and
taught,
it's
and
such a
it's
critical element of just like humanity in general.
yes,
Never mind,
yes.
living life skills, they even life skills, they teach you how to cook, they teach you how to sew, like all these things when you're a child, but
Yes. Yeah, and
there's a varying degree about how much they might say be kind, but how do we continue that messaging of like how to best communicate with others
right.
and how not to?
Well, I mean, I shared the story of a celebrity, but then I also had activists that I did a voting campaign with Youth in Power under the Women's March. This is back in 2016, 17. And I was working with a young girl, Tyra, who was part of the Parkland shootings, and her friends were shot around her. And she said to me, just to, give these different stories and the people I've worked with, that there was someone in one of the shooters was like making really bad articles in the paper, and like she sensed the energy, and no one dealt with it. No one sort of sensed the what was happening in the environment. And so this is these are we've seen this uptick of shootings, we've seen the uptick of bullies, like, and there's just it's sort of go through, like, now you layer in social media and what can we do? So we've continued through the brand and myself, like working with students and parents to educate them in these skills and understand how do you talk to someone or how do you help someone who is having, insecurities, and maybe they're not necessarily, they could be change from the bully situation. Sometimes we point
Sure.
fingers and say that's a bad person
Right.
doing he's
But
kicking
yeah, let's dig into the why. Why are they acting like that?
right. So
Maybe
it's,
there's something
I'm
they need to
not a
work on.
psychologist or a psychiatrist or,
Right.
I don't work for the organization, but as much as we can do to have these conversations, to have these conversations with educators, and share really, we talked about Claudine earlier. She always said to me, when I go on your Instagram, I learn about a new organization or new something.
Okay.
So I think through the brand, that's what we've given. Like, you might not really know where to go or what to do. You might be searching, you might see the statement, and you see that it's donated to that organization. So that's what we've provided. But it is, as we know, a really hard social landscape for young girls who look at it for and get anorexic or bulimia or want all the makeup, or there's so many places we can stop that, but also it's really hard to when you have children who want to be on socials. And so, but there are ways to go about that and learn and come together in education and through brands. And so I'm really happy that we can be there as much as possible, in our different collaborations. So if you're buying Strawberry Shortcake collaboration and you are 13 or 19 or 40 and you see the tag or you read it on the website and you see that the net proceeds are going to X, then you search it. Like we have a collaboration with Roblox, and they just have main logo brand, you can buy for Robux. And I talk about this a lot. There was a YouTuber who's a gamer who is a Roblox gamer. So doesn't really knew the brand, didn't maybe knew the brand, but like found research the brand because today people are really wanting to make sure that brand's like telling the truth and is not being
Of course,
questioned.
they're going to do their research,
Yes,
especially
legitimate.
Gen
I mean,
Z,
they
and
have like
Alpha's going
this.
to do the same. And they, yes, and they'll
Yeah,
call you out for it if it's
exactly.
performative.
Exactly. And so she did her research and she's like, oh my God. And they stand up for anti-bullying. And she's like, and when I wear these pants, and it's all on the avatar, and she's like, oh, these make me feel so confident. And you know what? They fit all sizes. And I was like, wait, she's doing her avatar like it's a real person and a real human, but like giving all the brand identity and feeling like really confident in herself. So I think for us, it's about, the tagline confidence and courage, never go out of style. That is really hard as a young girl or boy to feel confident. It's
Right, it is
not
consistently
easy,
confident. Yeah,
And
for sure.
so how do we get that message through? And is that through our fashion shows, showing all different sizes and backgrounds and ethnicities, which we do forever, and portraying that through the brand so that that person who is getting whatever item does feel confident and can learn about that organization. So it's definitely changed, and it's very sad right now in terms of house divided, of a lot of and in different political discussions or whatever is going on. It's not like one way, but I think with us, like if we can continue to lead with humanity and discuss different things going on, which we've always done as a brand, in the way that we feel is going to educate and bring conversation, which is what we love to do. And we might not always agree. We might not always know a story, which is so important. Like certain people I work with and sit on a panel with over the years come from very different backgrounds, but I can share that story. I didn't live in a place that my brother was wrongly arrested for something and put in Rikers Island, which is one of my dear collaborators, Luis Hernandez, and happened to him. And he's sitting on a panel with me and shares his story of how they got his brother out of Rikers Island. And so I'm like, I did not live in an area where that happened, and that did not happen to my sister. And so all of what we do is bringing that conversation, sharing it, because we are not a brand that it is just one looking person. And that's not, you're not coming to me if you are that person, if that's what you're looking for. You're going to hear about things, you're going to learn about things. And that's what I set out to do in 2001.
Well, in addition to the fashion, you also talk a lot about music too, and your brand connects music with and art, to the
Yeah.
fashion. So how talk to us a little bit about that alignment of music as well, and the, I talk about in my book too, the role of music and well-being, the opportunity of that.
Well, I have a great person for you because, okay, so, well, one, I'll come back to her, but music is just, I have shirts that say Music Calm the Soul. We've done those back in the day with Boy Meets Girl. Music has always been infused in any design I do, like whether I'm listening to classical, to hip hop, to rap, to I took, music theory in college and African music in the American culture, like Lionel Richie, anything. I love all types of music. I even like country all of a sudden now. I don't know how that happened, but anyway, it's very popular. But the discovery of an artist also is amazing to me as a musician, but it is a calming mechanism that like ins gets me going, gets me into a different mood. And one of the DJs that has been DJing a lot of my shows over the years is DJ Hester Prynne. And she is, I'm going to be on her podcast, and you're going to have to be on her podcast because it's coming out in January in iHeart, and it's called Music is Therapy. And she's recently, just because I've worked with her so much, she's become a therapist, but she's a DJ. And it's so interesting because this is very much aligned to what I feel about music and her whole course, and what she's going out and doing now is Bringing on songs that have senses. It's sort of like a rate, but bringing inspiration and discussion to the song. What does it make you feel? And so for me, it's always, I've aligned with a lot of musicians for my runway show, Natasha Bedingfield, Wyclef John, the Veronicas, Neon Trees, Jesse and Sky, the list goes on. And my latest one was a pianist, Chloe Flower, and she played piano to hip hop. I had hip hop dancers dance to her music. So it really helps me in hard times. On the plane, I'll listen to one song for me to calm me for turbulence, and I repeat it over and over again, and it just soothes me. And that is Rent, 525,600 minutes, season 6.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed that. Look at that. We didn't even get to your rapid fire questions.
Yeah, you're right. So I think
I love it.
I think, music is a calming feature and something we need.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's an important thing, and it could really set a lot of different vibes, and I think it helps you get into your flow space, whatever direction that energy needs to take you. I'm going to pivot a little bit on the purpose pivot to the book you authored. So Embracing the Calm and the Chaos, and you just talked right about how music helps you do that. But this was also a culmination, not just of you, but conversations you had with a lot of leaders, how to find success in business and life through perseverance, connection, and collaboration. I know everybody's going to want to buy the book now if they haven't yet. What are two or three learnings that you could share, just high level from this book as we think about the topic?
I mean, the title is Embracing the Calm and the Chaos. And for me, in the midst of chaos, I don't let it bring me down, but how I don't let it bring me down is through journaling. It's through the listening of music. It's with the collaboration with friends and thought leaders who are in this book. It is the actual doing of the action and having that friend on the phone if you need to talk to them, and having a mentor. So there's so many different areas that I can embrace it, even though it's chaotic, because of those things.
Yeah. And I think acknowledging that's important too. Sometimes we get so stuck and I'm going to push through. And sometimes the most powerful thing is acknowledgement of the state of things and feeling that way and having stuff in your toolkit, like you're talking about, whether it's the music, whether it's like having a tea with a friend, whatever it is, that's going to help you find your regrounding.
I think the journaling for me is why a book is even made, is because I kept all these journals. I would write on the subway, anywhere I was going, walking, cafe, some note to tell myself I could keep moving. Mm-hmm. The book is vulnerable of bad partners, hiring and firing as a young employer.
Which is so hard. Yeah.
It's so hard. And just how do you get through that? And so I would say to myself, you can do this. You're working so hard, investing so much of your time and energy, like you will make it through. Looking in the mirror and saying, you can do this every morning. I had to do that a lot. Mm-hmm. And that is, what you see, you hear those stories. It's a memoir business book, and it interviews other people who similarly had to talk about that, about the failure, knowing that sometimes like it took a long time to know that failure could be okay to keep you going. You don't get into the
story. It's where you learn the most.
It really is. I mean,
I had another podcast episode with Patricia David, if somebody wants to listen to that, and she's an executive coach. And in that one, she talks about how everybody thinks success is in a linear line, and usually you're zigzagging. And in the zigs and zags is probably where you're learning so much and you're always growing. We don't allow ourselves that. We put so much pressure and associate it with failure.
Exactly. I say it's always like a long road, right? And the road has lefts and rights, and it's the same thing she said, and it's not straight. And those pivots that way, and pivot that way, and this way, and that way, is where you get your best experiences and learn from.
Yeah, Absolutely. And we have to trust that. We have to give ourselves the grace,
Yes.
right? To say, I
Yes.
try to do that. I try to do that and say, that did not work out. That was totally effed up. But like, what did I learn from that?
You
You
know
know,
what
and
I
it's not
learned
the
from
easiest
all of
thing.
it? When people write you crazy emails, just this is a good tip for everyone, and you want to fire back. You want to be like, I have learned to finally, okay, someone is going through something and they're going to tell you on a call, which just happened to me, that they were going through something when they
They're
fired
projecting
themselves.
on you.
Yes. And I just said, well, first, don't let any let any of that get your wave off. Like, you have to continue. If someone wants to have a phone call right away, you have to set your boundaries of your time and also be ready to have a call if it needs to be done on the other end, if it's a rush thing. So many times production issues are this, like it's ever so rush for in the fashion business, and you had to just you felt like you had to be on call, but it's not doctors. Like, and so you can take a step back. And I'm like, what I did in that scenario was put a time on my calendar that works for both of us, and we will regroup and have that. And we had a great discussion, on topics today or the other day that, related. And then that person was going through something. So it's just that's a, such an important because we all want to respond right away because we have the ability to.
But it doesn't always mean it's the right approach. Well, I'm gonna get one more pivot in our conversation, and this is gonna be a little is gonna be a little bit more personal and ties a bit to my book. But through your 25 years of working, with your brand, Boy Meets Girl, you've talked a lot about advocacy, and a lot of that's been around mental well-being, and there's a lot of ways to define well-being. And one of the important people in your life is your mom, and you've always known her as like the healthiest person that you've known. And she's currently going through a challenge right now with dementia. And for you, you talk about the profound kind of wake up call that's been for you, and obviously on a personal level as a daughter, but also as a leader, and some of the new mindset that you bring to your leadership role. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes, and this is the first time I've ever talked about it with anyone. So,
Thank you for trusting.
you're welcome. My sister will kill me, but that's okay.
Oh,
No, she won't. She understands if I. She knows I talk much more than other people, but I haven't told the social lands yet. So my mother, who, oddly enough. Just to back up, in my book, there was like typos, in the first run when you get your book, and it was saying was or instead of is. And my son was like, "Why are they talking about your mom past?"
oh,
So here, I mean, she's
so
still
weird.
present here, but it was typos, and that was changed. But so that was a little bizarre. But my mom was a triathlete, a marathon runner, one of the healthiest people in. Caring about food, like no one could eat at my house because there was always like greens and vitamins and minerals growing up, and I had lots of people always come to my house. And she was a business leader. She was a physician assistant, ran the back school at the Cook County Hospital. Then she's created a lumbar support, would go to Taiwan. It was the first lumbar support. So she was constantly like on the go and but also taking care of herself, and then was a marathon triathlete, like 15 and 20 of each one. So it's like very mind-blowing to all of a sudden have your mother who has all of a dementia. It's so it's been a 2-year journey of discovery and learning, and what happened, and I think why we connected to be in your book, and is that you can keep going, and then these things happen to you, and you wake up. And we're healthy people. For her, unfortunately, the discussion of menopause, perimenopause, wasn't in her world. All the things that we're learning, which is
We're still
amazing.
learning ourselves about
I
what
mean,
is
there's so much
perimenopause is.
information
That's
that's
a whole other episode, yes.
a whole other thing. But so. I guess I for myself, as I'm learning, how do we reverse it or help her or take care of what is here, which is called the reactive. And this is, I'm reading a book actually, which will be my new book that I can say in my roundup, but Dr. Breslin's book is called, oh my God, how to reverse or prevent Alzheimer's. I might have the wrong name. But it's about when you get diagnosed, all you do is put medicines to like stop it or pause it. But the pre part of the prevention part now is the time that we need to, how do you reverse it? It's like taking tests with your metals and doing your blood panels and all the things that you can see if you can prevent it, or if you have it, can you reverse it? So it's an interesting book about how to eat and all the things that she did and things that I learned. I think for me, the preventative journey over the course of the 20 years of building my business, I wasn't being kind to my body. I wasn't being kind to myself on a lot of things because we were, I can say to you, take a pause, you know, now, but yeah. You know, we were going. We're young, we're women who are working really hard, and that's a lot on your body, flying, going, trade shows, 100, a, you know, 10 a year, 100 over the, you know, course of my 20 yeah. years. Like, it's just a lot. And then trying to have a child and all the things. So to answer what's going on is that for me, anyone around me, anyone on my teams, I have licensing around the world, like anyone I talk to, I'm like, okay, here's what I'm doing. Here's a Google Doc of the things I'm doing. And I would like you guys to at least try to do these things for yourself. You know, you can't make anyone do anything, right. But you know, the practice.
You're sharing your wisdom.
Yeah. And then the sharing of the wisdom happens. Oh, my mom has it, or my father's father had it, or here's some things I have. Here's the note. Let's add it together. So, for me, I'm really on that journey, and to infuse that learning into your day when you are working, writing a book or whatever we're doing, yeah. It's really hard, but then you're like, but then I'm not taking care of myself. So if you give yourself that hour walk, you give yourself that hour study on preventative work for yourself, what blood panels, you know, patches for if you're going through pyramid, all the different books, but just take it in doses because there's so much information. It's really hard.
It's so hard. But I think I've learned too in writing my book is every time somebody shared, and thank you so much for being so brave and sharing and trusting, you know, and sharing for the first time in my book. But I would say the consistency has been what you're talking about. There's people in the book who have shared everything from cancer to adrenal failure to, fibroids, all the things. And in the moment, they think they're in it alone and it feels super scary and super lonely. And then when you are brave enough, you know, other people feel seen too. And then they want to come talk to you, you know.
They lead you to doctors. You might have tried four different doctors and it's just not right for you. You didn't find any path there, but it led that one conversation in passing could have led you to another doctor, which just happened with our mom and on her journey. And I went through 2 years of trying to get pregnant also, and I never talked about it. And it's much more talked about now, obviously on social, on IVF, and where you can go and so much more. And I didn't have really anyone. I would have friends of friends who knew someone who then would call me to talk about it. And someone who tried 7 times of IVF or, you know, and just made me feel seen that it would work out. Sometimes it doesn't. And I've learned that, you know, in discussions. I've had Twitter spaces when we were over COVID and knowing that it doesn't always work out for someone, but most of the people that I had talked to were very positive that it would. So I always believed it would for me as much as it was really hard on that journey. And it did. And so, you know, after several tries of different 9 IUIs, a year of natural, and then 2 IVFs. And so the second IVF worked, but it's just, again, we all these things are new to us, and we have to really ultimately it's taking care of ourselves, and whether that's more greens, more and less sugar, no refined sugar, and all the things we know and we read and we see, but we still have the Swedish fish that has red dye in it.
I mean, habits are hard to break and tendencies are hard to break,
Well, I said to my
but it's
mother,
all learning along the way.
yes, I said to my mother, who right now is, can talk a little. I said, "Mom, should I start doing drugs, drinking, and smoking every day?" And she looks at me and she's like, "No." I'm like, "Okay, you're still there."
Okay. Just testing, just
Yeah, I'm
testing. Oh my gosh,
testing
you're
because
so
I'm
funny.
so angry.
Yeah, no, it's hard. And but to the anger part of it too, you're getting tips on, I think, some of the actionable things. Here's doctors I know and everything else, but there's also that other emotional side of it. And I think when you share, I had to learn doctors and things to eat and all of that, but there's the emotional journey that you go through. And that's another where area of being seen. I have a friend who she just had colon surgery recently, and it's not exactly for the same reasons I did, but in her healing journey, kept beating herself up about not moving forward, And I remember saying, like, you're not failing, like you're in your trial and error phase. You got to think about that for these 3 months. You have no idea. This is like learning phase. And I just was sharing it because that's how it helped me not say like this is always a setback. It's like I just don't know how my body's gonna react to that pear or this or that. And every time it was a little bit of a crapshoot, and now I know better. She said to me, this helped me so much because it enabled me to reframe and stop judging myself for not moving forward. And sometimes it's just those little points of connection that can help somebody.
Yeah, and I think what you just said too is that this is what I've been seeing is that it's not the same for everyone in the sense of what worked for you in what you eat or do or medicine. And that's the really interesting part. I mean, the preventative piece of it could be, right? We can take magnesium before we go to bed, which I'm reading all about now, and which one to do and what's the right vitamin, but different. B12 versus the iron or this every month's makeup is different. That's why these blood panels I've been doing, which is so important for everyone to
Right,
do.
which is what I started to do. I went to Next Health as I was supposed to before I went to, and you learn so much. You learn about your DNA markers and you learn about,
Yes.
all these things that have to do with your body composition and genetics as well.
Right. But it's true. It's these little pointers that help us get through, talking to someone whose mom or dad had dementia or has dementia and hearing the ways to think of it in a fun way versus not, sad way. Like recently I met someone who's writing a book about in the this is really funny, but it like opens up the first chapter and she just made us laugh. We were two women standing with her who have parents going through it, and her partner who's writing the book with her, his dad had it, and he was like a devout Catholic and never watched porn. And in the
Oh.
beginning of the book, you're like, oh, and it's so funny because it makes you laugh. In the beginning of the book, he's loud, he can't hear because he's deaf, loud porn, and the wife comes down every morning and he's just sitting there watching
Oh my gosh. Oh
it's
my
like because he
gosh.
doesn't remember. So I know this is so like, and the book's not out yet, but it'll be really good, I think. But you made us laugh, right? So we're like, oh,
Yeah.
there's funny sides to this, and you have to give yourself that when someone's going through
You
something
do.
like this.
You
I
do.
know that you can
You
X that out, but I just thought that was
do.
funny.
No, it's
It
so
made
funny.
us
Look, I
laugh.
think there should be more comedy in the world. I can't wait for Ted Lasso season 4 to come out because I need more comedy in my life.
I
So,
do too.
that and Shrinking and all those shows.
Love them,
Well,
love them.
no. Well, look, we can go on forever. We both know this
Yes.
because you have such great energy all the time. But I do want to get to some rapid fire questions, some bite-sized things that I think the audience, because I think you can give out a lot of good recommendations, right? And I know one might be a hard question because you yourself are an author, and so sometimes to make recommendations of other books, you probably read so many. It's like, where do I start? But that
Yes.
is going to be my first question. So three rapid fire. One, what are your must-read books or podcasts? You have some options in
Okay.
terms of shaping your perspective of integrating well-being into your life.
Okay. So I would think there's a book. Okay. Prevention, Walk Your Calm, which is our friend Jennifer Walsh. She always wanted me to be walking, doing a walk tour with her, back in the day, and I could never do it. Then COVID hit and I walk every day now. So her book is wonderful because it gives you insight and what do you feel on your walk. I love that. So it's more of a like a writing, journaling, and perspective. So I love that. Another book that embracing the calm and the chaos, but I'll give you another one. Yours. But for me, again, it's like reading people like Shoe Dog, which is Phil Knight, which has nothing to do with health and well-being, but it also made me realize, oh, I'm not gonna kill my body. Like I'm not gonna do that to myself. As much as I want to be Nike, I can't be Nike. Like I it's not humanly possible what he did to build it. And so that is a sort of a look at yourself and your endurance and how much capital you're raising and everything. So and then podcasts. Oh, and I'm listening to Audible and like a lot of audio books, and I went back in time to listen to Siddhartha. So I'm still on it. But it's an oldie. It's about like your path in life. So I highly recommend it by Hermann Hesse.
Tell me.
Oh, sorry, I just put it on. It's more Buddhist, talking about different stories, but in the walk and the path of life. So I have so much because I have like you said, I just finished my two books. I just finished, and I know you said three, but I can't stop. Was how to call or Let's Call Her Barbie, which is amazing by Renee Rosen, which is the story of the founder, Ruth, who created Barbie. Amazing, amazing. And then another book, the first book that I've ever read about dementia, which is How to by Molly, my friend Molly. Hold on, I'll tell you. And I just read it, but I have it in here. I just saw it pop up because I put the book somewhere and now I'm forgetting the name. How to Lose Your Mother, A Daughter's Memoir by Molly Jong Fast. So if anyone is going through this right now, I had never found a book. When it's you're
Yeah,
going through
that's
it, you start to
the title
find
alone is wow. Yeah.
And then yeah, I'll stop there.
Yeah, because I have more questions.
Yes.
Okay. Hopefully everybody's writing that down because it's a lot of good reads and podcasts. What are three words of wisdom that you say to yourself when you need to get regrounded?
Think, say, do.
Think, say, do. Like when somebody sends you that email, you think first.
Say it and then do it. Yes.
Yeah, I think that helps with some self-reflection for sure. And
Yes.
then, what would you tell your younger self? And we kind of hit on that a little bit, I think, throughout the conversation, but in a sound bite, what would you tell your younger self about well-being, knowing what you know today?
God, this one's gonna get me. Sorry.
There's no story.
I thought I'd lose it earlier, but I lost it now. You're
Oh.
good. You're like Oprah.
Oprah, are you listening? No. Will you take your time?
I think that
We
thank
can
you for
skip it
my
if you
therapy
want.
today.
Yeah.
I think that we have to, slow down
100%.
and really, take those moments yourself and with your family.
Absolutely.
I think, I was thinking the question. I'm like, I always think about that as like, oh, what would I tell my 9-year-old self? But as I get older, I'm like, oh, what would I tell my 20-year-old self, even though I think I'm 20?
I know, me forever, I think I'm 20, but I'm
Me
not.
too. Forever. 19 on tables.
Somebody said to me this weekend, the day you had your, like, when you, if you do have a child, the day you gave your child, that's the day you stop aging. That's the age you should stay forever.
Yes, exactly. I like that. I like that. Although I still would like it a little earlier. But yeah, I think that's the main thing. It's like, I think I'm taking more of that time now. And even though, I still have the to-do list, it's really granting yourself that.
Yeah, I think, when you're driven, which you are, right? And passionate and all those things. I don't even like the word ambitious because I feel like it has a connotation. You're passionate, right? And you're visionary. You're always gonna have a to-do list. But I do think, we learn over time, like you're saying, time's the one thing you don't get back. And so how you use it is so important,
Yeah. I mean, my calls was like constantly in a taxi, calling my mom, from the Garmin Center, like, or doing that, it's just like, it's, you look back and you're like, ah, but that's what I had to do, right? And so now if someone's like, hey, I want to take a walk. Can you take a walk on Thursday morning? And I'm like, you know what? Yes, I'm going to do that. Even though I might have a meeting, but I might have a Zoom meeting, or I might have another meeting there or here, but I'm going to do that. If that person's asked and I want to spend that time with that person, I'm trying to incorporate that more in my everyday.
Yeah, no, good for you because you deserve that. And kind of as we wrap up here, I resonate a lot with what you said, and thanks again for sharing. But I remember when I decided I would coach my daughter's softball team, or soccer team, sorry. Her dad does softball. I would struggle with like, how am I going to coach? Like, that means I'm gonna have to log off at whatever time, and I'm still going to be responsible to my career all the time, but we. Sometimes you misplace the guilt, It's like, well, how do I carve out space so I can be present for her? 'Cause she'll only be this age for so long, And it's like finding more of that, like, balanced point of view and knowing it's gonna evolve because how I answer that when she's 14 versus 8 versus 20 is gonna be totally different.
Right, exactly. That's completely it. And I think with you and I, there's the pivots, but we haven't paused.
Yes. Right,
Right.
exactly.
So it's like we definitely give ourselves more grace, and we take on those things now, right? Maybe we might have not before, but we still go back to it later, right?
Yes.
So.
I
That's always
know.
a hard one. I'm like, nope, I
A
don't
hard
think I've
one.
ever paused. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what the thing, but the book title I arrived at was because I don't think we will. And I think if we try to be who we're not, it's going to be really hard because we're not going to feel happy and fulfilled. But if we pivot that energy to our purpose, which is the things that fuel us, then we can make better space for the things that drive the positive stress, less for the negative. Hopefully we can delegate those things.
Exactly.
Right? Because maybe it's somebody else's positive stress. And then we get to still thrive, but we make the space for the other things that are really important too.
Agreed, agreed. Yeah, I forgot to mention a podcast because I did a podcast for 3 seasons with Michelle Park called Mom's Got This, which was before any mommy podcast, and then COVID hit, and that was our therapy to hear how mom entrepreneurs, business leaders, musicians were doing the job in the midst of their work, right? And
Yeah.
that helped us, and it fueled us. Oh, okay. Our kids were younger then, and we were hearing different stories. But so check that out too, even though
I know.
we
I'm gonna have to transcribe
are
this because it's
yes.
so many great things, and I hope everybody's been taking notes on that. But thank you for sharing all this. Thank you
Thank you.
so much
Sorry,
for
I
coming
just you know
on.
it just came.
I mean, you're being honest and real and authentic, which is you. So that's the thing. But we all appreciate everything that you shared, everything you're doing with Boy Meets Girl. Everybody, again, Stacey Eagle, and being at it for 25 years. And I don't think your work is going to stop anytime soon because there's so
No.
much impact that you can
Yes.
have, especially in this crazy world. And appreciate you sharing all your learnings throughout about your journey of life. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me, and I can't wait to read your full book. I'm so
Yes.
excited. That will be on my
Soon.
September list.
There we go. I
There we
love
go.
it.
Yes. Thank you
All
for
right.
having
Thank you
me.
so much. Yeah, thank you.